cardiovascular toxicities are now being seen, and there are patients that have died from myocarditis and CHF, a rare Stevens-Johnson syndrome. If you develop Stevens-Johnson syndrome, it's likely going to be fatal. It's a bad toxicity.
That's kind of interesting. Can you remind us about the pathophysiology of Stevens-Johnson syndrome and why it would get worse? I mean, I know it's an immune, you know, sort of based, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a very severe form of skin toxicity. It's probably T-cell mediated. I don't think it's antibody mediated. We've seen bullous pemphigoid, which I think is antibody mediated.
Right.
But I think Stevens-Johnson's is a more T-cell mediated toxicity. But when we see it, it's rapidly progressive. It's hard to turn off. And I've only seen one case myself. I'm not even sure that it was the immune checkpoint inhibitor because the patient was also on Bactrim at the same time, but had a very rapid progressive course and died in the ICU. So the other things that we're seeing now a little bit more commonly that used to be rare, in fact, we were among the first to report it, we've seen patients develop insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus, and that diabetes mellitus can be very brittle. You have to have an endocrinologist help you to manage that because they're very hard to manage.
So presumably it's type 1 diabetes.
Yeah, it is. It's type 1 diabetes. They lose their pancreas. They're insulin-dependent, but they're very brittle. You need somebody who really knows how to manage the toxicity to get these patients through. We've seen really debilitating rheumatologic disorders, arthralgias. They are often responsive to steroids. The myositis can be reversed relatively quickly, but some patients who develop myositis can also develop myocarditis. And you have to, if you see somebody, they come in weak or with myalgias, you get a CK, the CK is high, you should check for troponins. If they have myocarditis, they should be in the hospital. And I've seen myositis, myocarditis, and myasthenia gravis in the same patient.
Wow. When you see myositis and myocarditis, what's going on? I mean, it's different types of muscles.
Again, we don't know the pathophysiology, but it's, again, a potentially life-threatening complication. And then for the CNS toxicities, in addition to myasthenia, which is already bad enough, we've seen an optic neuritis that led to blindness in one patient. We've seen uveitis. The uveitis is most often reversible. And then this ascending or multifocal neuropathy, that I've seen more with ipilimumab alone, where we used to give 10 milligrams per kilogram. I can't say I've seen it very often, but it's a very scary adverse effects. People come in with leg weakness. We bring them to the hospital. We give them IVIG. We give them steroids. And that weakness doesn't go away right away. It can take months before they recover
function. So this is
function.
An MS-type kind of syndrome?
No, it's different. It's actually probably a demyelinating neuropathy.
Hmm.
So it's very important, I think, if you're going to give these drugs. It's one of the problems about giving any oncologic agent outside of a major center. That's true for any agent. You have to have a multidisciplinary team that really knows how to manage these adverse events. Before, we used to manage the gastrointestinal toxicities and endocrine toxicities. I can manage mostly by myself. When people start developing severe neurologic toxicities, insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus, you really need that expertise from other subspecialties in order to get these patients through the agent safely. The good news is that these toxicities that are hard to manage are very rare, and the vast majority of patients have reversible toxicity. So,
what about the radiation necrosis? I hadn't heard that before.
So we don't know for sure that that's tied into the immune checkpoint inhibitors, but many patients with melanoma, as you know, present with brain metastases. These days, we don't necessarily give them gamma knife radiation or stereotactic radiation because they can respond to ipilimumab, nivolumab. In fact, that's a subgroup of patients that probably should get the combination versus nivo alone. So if you're not treating them with radiation, you don't have to worry about radiation necrosis. But some patients you do treat with gamma knife radiation or stereotactic radiation. They either get the immune checkpoint inhibitors after or concurrently. And in those patients, even though the brain lesion goes away, anywhere from months to years later, you can start seeing enhancement at the area that you treated before. And sometimes the edema around that can become enormous and can cause almost as many symptoms as a lesion itself. And our sense is that the immune checkpoint inhibitors may exacerbate the development of the radiation necrosis.
It's really interesting. In general, how well do these CNS problems respond to corticosteroids?
They do respond to corticosteroids fairly well, but in some patients, you have to resect the area of radiation necrosis. There's a method called LIT, which is a laser that you can actually insert into the lesion, and that can sometimes take care of the necrosis. And in some patients, we've had to give them bevacizumab in order to manage the edema around the radiation necrosis.
How much of an issue is having, you know, ER docs, primary care docs tuned in to these problems? And what are you doing at Yale about approaching that? How important do you think it is?
I think it's very important, and I can't say we're doing at Yale as much about this as we should, but certainly through the SITC, we've created educational programs, including programs with community oncology centers so that we can educate the emergency room physicians who, in some cases, see these toxicities before we do. So you're right, it's a very important thing to do, but the programs are being put out there through larger organizations. I think the last toxicity here that we should mention is an occasional patient will develop hematologic toxicity. So they'll develop severe, for example, hemolytic anemias or pancytopenias. I had one patient who came in with a white count of zero, low platelet counts, pancytopenia. She responded to steroids, but it was a very scary situation. And now she's back to normal. Her counts eventually recovered. It's another person that we gave steroids and IVIG. So you need to be on the lookout for this, and it's a very good idea to have your hematologic consultant available when these bizarre toxicities occur. ITP has been seen, for example.